Virtually Analog, where we explore Board Game Arena and the ever-blurring line between board and video games. I'm your co-host, Lex.
And I'm your other co-host, Shay.
And today, we will be discussing the game It's a Wonderful Kingdom. This description is brought to you by Board Game Geek. It's a Wonderful Kingdom is a standalone solo or two-player game in a low fantasy universe. Inspired by the core mechanics of its predecessor, It's a Wonderful World, this game offers more interaction, a bluff mechanism, and new challenges.
It's a Wonderful Kingdom was designed by Frédéric Guéraud, with art by Anthony Wolfe, and published by La Boîte de Jeux. I'm doing my best on those. It was released in 2021 and developed for Board Game Arena by Moof. On Board Game Arena, It's a Wonderful Kingdom is for two players. It takes about 1 hour and has a 3 out of 5 complexity rating.
Yes, this game has a couple different mechanics going on in it, but I think the biggest one, just like It's a Wonderful World, it's an engine building game, but instead of a draft, like that game, it is a I pick, you choose game. So that's why it's a two player. That's why it's locked in at two player. Is you take a deck of cards and you shuffle them up, and every round you'll be drawing from that deck, and you will pick to play the cards in either one space or the other, and you put two cards out there every turn. You can put them in the same spot if you want to. There's in this game as well, there's like negative cards. So if you put like a really good card out there, you might also put a negative to stop your opponent from taking that one. But basically, the I pick you choose is kind of like the idea of like, I cut you choose when you're talking about like a piece of pie, like you have one person cut the piece and the other person pick which size is bigger, right? So that is a way to kind of make it the most fair as possible, right? Because if you have if both people know what they're doing, they're going to try to keep things as, you know, beneficial for both people as possible. So this game does a really good job of that. I think besides that, you know, if you can go back and listen to our episode on It's a Wonderful World to like really get a deep dive in like the mechanics of that game. Even if you don't want to go back and listen to that episode and you want to know what this game is about, basically you are generating resources with these cards. When you pick these cards up, the game takes place in phases where first you are trying to, you know, take the best cards that you can. Some cards have like are worth points and have different like colors to them, and once you have a set of cards that you've collected through like the picking round, then you can choose to either build them or recycle them. And each card has like a resource. There's like 4 different resources in this game, you basically, if you decide to construct a card, you place it down, and there's like a construction cost that you are using the resources to construct it. And then once you have constructed a card, typically they generate more resources for you. So that's kind of a very, very like basic overview. This game also I said at the beginning, there is negative cards where you have to use soldiers to get rid of them. That kind of is the biggest difference, I would say, between this game and It's a Wonderful World. And
yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the main kind of overview of It's a Wonderful Kingdom.
That being said, what is your number 3 favorite thing about this
game? Yeah, so for my top 3 favorite things, the first one, or the third one, I guess I should say, I think that the theme for me is just like way better than World. I think you're going to disagree with me on this. But I think
I'm going to let you talk first.
I don't necessarily think that like dystopian sci-fi, like I think that like I prefer usually like that theme over like fantasy setting. Like I'm kind of like over fantasy, I guess, in a lot of these type of games. So like just based on that, I would say like It's a Wonderful World is like quote unquote the theme is, would be better. But I think that this game, especially with like the menace cards and stuff and like the negative cards, I find myself way more involved in the theme in this game than I ever did. Like for It's a Wonderful World, the theme for that game like always felt really kind of like pasted on for me. I never felt like when I was building these cards, like I was actually building what was printed on them. Like I could just completely ignore the artwork in that game. This game, like you have giant rats and you have ghosts, and those are the two things I can name from this game. partly because like my favorite thing that happened when we were playing this game was like you just got stuck with so many giant rats in our first game.
So many.
You were just like
so many rats.
The ruler of rats. It was fucking
I was the rat really, king. Really funny. I don't think anyone would ever dispute me on that.
Yeah.
Based on our game. I see what you're saying, Lex. I really do. That being said, I think that the menaces are a nice addition. Menaces being things like the giant rats or the shadows that I got saddled with every single round that we played. But I don't necessarily see the medieval theme shining through in the way that I see the imperfect utopia shining through in It's a Wonderful World. I think that It's a Wonderful World does a really good job of, and this is kind of my first and, or excuse me, my third and second things about this game. They did try for a theme, and it is certainly different from It's a Wonderful World. But I don't think that it's as good, and I think that the imperfection of your engine building is part of the theme of It's a Wonderful World, in the sense that you cannot create a utopia based on these mechanics. And I think that this may be giving too much credit to the game developers, but I think that my takeaway from the game is that you can't create this utopia that you're going for in the future because people are imperfect. And
I never really it's really interesting to hear you talk about it that way. Like that's a much more of like of a like a high level way of thinking about theme than I ever really like my goblin gook brain like really you know thinks about. Like it's not so much about like the characters and the art for It's a Wonderful World. It's more about like how what you're doing is affecting your population and your, you know what I mean? Like,
well, right. Like that's kind of the thing is that like in It's a Wonderful World, you're hiding the rats that you have to fight in It's a Wonderful Kingdom. You're combating the rats that you have to fight. But, I think that they both do a really good job of, for the period they're set in, addressing them in the way that they would be, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think in It's a Wonderful Kingdom, the menaces are a nice addition in the sense that they're just kind of ignored in It's a Wonderful World and are like subtext. But in It's a Wonderful Kingdom, where they would be more pronounced, they are much more of an influence on the game.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a good point. I would say that like the resources in world never meant anything to me besides just like color, right? I'm assuming like yellow is supposed to be gold and gray is supposed to be like materials or something. I don't know. And like I can't really say honestly that like I know that much better for Kingdom, but like I know at least on the board for It's a Wonderful Kingdom, it's like laid out just a little bit like clearer of like how like the gray is like materials because like it's on a mine, and then it kind of transfers over to like the city, and it's pop, like the purple is population, and then like it goes back over to like the farms and like the marketplace, I mean, and like it's the gold is gold, and then it goes into the coast, and like the blue is like ships and stuff, just like little aesthetic things like that. I don't know, just like hits me better in this game for some reason, but I get why, you know, like I'm not gonna like, you know, this is definitely a personal preference thing, but yeah.
But. Yeah, I think you and I have the same number one.
Yeah.
For this game.
Yeah, well, I think before we get into that, I think that like
I covered 3 and 2 for me. And,
yeah, yeah.
Just kind of skip past yours, but
just real quick, I think that like the one thing that like twice each round you can bluff on one of your cards that you offer. That's something that you don't get to do in. There wouldn't be any good way of doing this in It's a Wonderful World. So that's not like a knock on that game, but it's really fun in this game to like, you know, take a really good card and flip it upside down and hope that your opponent thinks that it's a bad card or vice versa. Like, I think that bluffing is like in games where it's like all bluffing, I don't really like that because I'm not a very good liar. And so like bluffing can be kind of tough, but this game, like the bluffing, it's like a pinch of salt. Like it's like the perfect pinch of salt of bluffing, in this really, really good, game. And so I think like the bluffing is perfectly done in this game, in my opinion. But yeah, so that's sure. My number two. But yeah, sure. But like you were saying, go ahead, Shay, on the number one.
Yeah. So the number one thing for me is there's more player interaction in this game than there is in It's a Wonderful World. Yeah. The I pick, you choose is a solid deviation to the drafting from It's a Wonderful World. There's more strategy in this game, and I think it is more collaborative while being competitive, which I think was a failing of It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
I think that there were too many options in It's a Wonderful World that have been kind of culled in It's a Wonderful Kingdom. Yeah. And that's not to say that you can
definitely
tell
they kind of learned from their missteps.
Yeah.
Not necessarily mistakes, but like,
yeah,
you know, a designer kind of grows. Yeah,
they cleaned up a few things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they did the exact right thing for those things. They picked out the things that needed cleaning up, and they cleaned them up. And this is, I think, an enhanced version of It's a Wonderful World.
With the, well, this will transition perfectly into why this game might not be for you. The biggest difference between these two, you might say, you know, which one should I get? If I can only get one of these games, which one should I get? 100% depend on player count. Mm-hmm. If you are a solo gamer or a two-player gamer, I think this is the version to go with, especially because there's different modules, which we haven't talked about. But like, if you're playing this game physically, it comes with a bunch of different like ways to make this game like infinitely replayable. But if you want to play with more, because you are locked into the one or two player thing for the physical version of this game, if you want to play, you know, five people, I think it's five, right, for World?
Yeah, 2 to 5. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 to 5. If you want to play it that way, if you want to play with four people, you are stuck with Wonderful World, which isn't a bad thing. Like, World is still a great game. Mm-hmm. But I think if I'm going to pick between these two games where you and I are just playing just the two of us, I'm going with Kingdom every time.
That's certainly how I'm going to convince you to play every time that I start a game.
Yeah, I never minded playing World with you, but a lot of times I'd be like, well, the draft just went better for you, so you won. Like, there was no, like, the deal of the cards is about it, you know, like, I think that the I pick, you choose just, like, works so much better in a two-player game, but mm-hmm. anyway.
It does if you have lower skill.
Yeah. Sounds like a skill issue.
No, I'm being facetious.
Yeah. So for the big three questions, is this game better in real life or on Board Game Arena? I think, like we talked about, Shay, I think, like, well, I put in real life here, but did we talk about that? Like, do you think this game is better in real life?
I think because of the limit on player count, it actually plays better on Board Game Arena.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the big problem with, like, playing with a bunch of people for World is that, like, you're waiting on other people to make your turns, and, like, when you add more people into the equation, it just gets worse and worse, right?
Yeah. So then Kingdom, the problem becomes, like, did you invite three people over and only one of them can play at a time with you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And that being said, I don't know if there are, like, on Board Game Arena, it's limited to two players, but, like, I don't know if there's modules that are available for four players,
there's not. It's literally just a one or two player. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the thing.
No,
huh?
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Like, unless you're a person who lives with a significant other or partner, and you guys are just two player board gamers, then, like, but I think the flexibility that World gives you with, like, the player count, I think, like, in real life is probably better with that. But, like, yeah, I think this game, I think the developers did a great job with this. We were kind of surprised to see that they were two different developers. That was interesting, because you'd think that they would be the same and they would just kind of use the same template, but they just kind of did it from scratch. And I will mention that I think that, like, they're both coded very well. I didn't find, like, when on our most recent couple of games, there wasn't really any bugs that we found, but the autofill function in It's a Wonderful World, I really wish they would implement that in It's a Wonderful Kingdom. They don't currently have that. It's a newer game. I think it's still in beta, so they might add it down the road, but to not see that.
I think it's actually freshly fully released.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're not going to add it, but I think that's kind of them. That might be kind of an oversight. I think that's something they definitely should add, because it makes playing Wonderful Kingdom just, like, way easier to just be able to just autofill a card, you know, not have to manually click.
You know, I said that with a lot of confidence, but it's a Wonderful Kingdom is still in beta.
Okay. By the time this episode is out, it probably has been.
Right, it's been fully released for 6 months.
So how much does the game cost? It is $45. And
how does that compare to It's a Wonderful World, Lex?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, cost wise?
Yeah.
Let's see. World. Great. Oh, not Louis Armstrong. What a Wonderful World. $45-$50.
About the same?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Which one would you get, Lex?
If they're both
$45, which one would you
like
get?
Like I said, it really just depends on player count. I tend to play more games solo or with two player, so I ended up getting Kingdom. It was funny when we were doing the show notes for this episode, when I noticed that the game came out in 2001, it made me really sad, because I realized that
2001?
I got this.
2001?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, not 2001. not 2001. 2021. Sorry.
Okay.
This game came out in 2021, which still 3 years ago. I realized that I got this game at Gen Con when it first came out, and so that was three years ago, and
you've
I still
this
have
game
not
the
played.
Whole time.
I've had this game this whole time, and I still have not played my physical copy.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
how
I have
many
a
times
problem.
Have you played It's a Wonderful World, though?
I've played It's a Wonderful World. So I don't own that game, but I do have friends who have it. I've played it physically. I've played that game physically probably twice. But how
many times have you played it?
Like on Board Game Arena as well?
Correct.
quite a few. Like probably way more than
generally with me, but, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think they're both great games. I mean,
yeah, no, they definitely are. How does It's a Wonderful World play async, Lex?
I don't like it. I think both of them.
Oh no, not both of them.
What? I think both games. The one thing that makes this game worse to play is the bluffing thing, because the game won't tell you what you bluffed, so you just have to remember it.
That is correct.
So that makes this game specifically harder async, but I don't know. I think that like you don't have the draft problem. We talked about it before, right? Like
you're right.
You don't have the draft problem where you're just waiting for a bunch of other people to pick their cards. So I think that this game definitely plays better async than World does, but still, like, you want to play this with someone who takes their turn pretty regularly.
I agree with you in the sense that this is the same amount of distress, I guess, as playing a two-player game of It's a Wonderful World. I think that It's a Wonderful Kingdom is an incredible two-player version of It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I disagree with you on the async stuff. Like, I think I think this game is much worse async.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that we were like, we completely misunderstood the rules the first couple times we played?
That's okay. You've intentionally undermined my credibility here, but
I didn't mean to, I promise.
but I genuinely think that It's a Wonderful Kingdom is much more reliant on real-time interaction than It's a Wonderful World is. And I think if you look at the mechanics of each game, you will find that to be true, and not just the undercut credibility that Lex has given me in this episode.
I think I will, to your point, to give you a little bit of credit back, I will say that like the more player interaction you have in a game, the worse it's going to play async, right? So it's like, really what it comes down to is, do you dislike the async player interaction stuff, or do you dislike drafting async more? And for my perspective, I hate drafting async. So,
if you can tell me that I know exactly what you picked and I know exactly what I picked,
yeah,
that is my jam.
That's fair.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. No, I think we're kind of diverging on this game on the same point.
Yeah.
And I think it's good.
Yeah.
Being said, Lex, what is your tier ranking for this game?
Okay. You ready to do it at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, S.
A minus.
Oh no!
Did you say S?
I said S tier. I think this is an S tier game.
I'm 100% willing to go S tier. I was pulling my punches on this one. I was like, "There's no way that Lex is gonna let me get It's a Wonderful World and It's a Wonderful Kingdom in S tier." But yeah,
my complete reasoning. The only argument I would make to like go back down to A tier, which I don't think we should do. I think we keep it S tier. But I think, like, to argue A tier is the fact that you can't play it more than two. So, like, you are kind of limited in that. But, like, honestly, for Board Game Arena, if you have four or five people you want to play this with, just start a different game with each person, you know?
Like, genuinely, yes. Yeah.
I think that's totally a legit way to do that. So, like, I honestly think that, like, this game is definitely S tier to me, like strong, strong S tier.
I'm not going to fight you on S tier. Awesome. So let's, I mean, let's put it in there.
Let's lock it in. Let's lock it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Do you want me to put it above, like right above world or right below world?
Well, Lex, as a preview to the next episode, we're doing a re-rank. So
it doesn't really matter.
You
want.
You put it wherever you want, and we'll figure it out next time.
Yep. So that's going to do it for our coverage of It's a Wonderful Kingdom. Thank you so much for listening. Like Shay said, next week we will be back with a re-rank. It's our 50th episode, so we will be kind of looking at the games that we've reviewed so far and kind of re-evaluating our feelings on them, if we can even remember. And I think...
Tell me how I felt about Evergreen. Please, I can't remember.
So those re-rank episodes are always a lot of fun. So please come back next week and join us for that. If you have thoughts, we will definitely take into consideration any of our audience's thoughts on where a rank should be. So you can email us at virtualanalog@gmail.com. If you think we have criminally underrated or overrated a game, I'm not promising that we'll change it, but you know, it couldn't hurt to try. If you want to join us on Discord, that's going to be the best way to like real time interact with us. You can do that, and you can also share the show using our website, virtuallyanalog.info. You'll find past episodes on there. And all of the links to all of our stuff. You can find me on Board Game Arena and on most of other platforms at Lex Judex. That's LexJudex. Except for on Instagram, where I did my Instagram set up as the Virtually Analog for some reason. So you can follow us there as well. Shay, where can people find you?
People can find me on the Broken Gaming Podcast. That's at BNGPod on Instagram. It's at BNGPodcast on Twitch. You can find me on Board Game Arena at S_G26. So open a table. I'm down to play most things.
Yeah. We are... We're begging people to play games with us.
Well, hold on.
At the risk of earning a explicit tag on this podcast, we are little game. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Anyway.
No. God. Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.